Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that finding good books isn't a problem. It's finding the time to read them. Here are her picks of the year for holiday gift buying.
All I want for Christmas is time. Time to read those books, piles of them, that I never got to during the year. There's Jean Strauss's biography of J.P. Morgan and Volume 2 of Blanche Weisen Cook's biography of Eleanor Roosevelt. Ugh, just give me a solid, uninterrupted week. I never managed to read John Keegan's History of the First World War, or Bobby Ann Mason's memoir, Clear Springs, or Kent Harouf's much-praised novel, Plain Song. Instead, I did other things, like sleeping, the laundry, staring into space. Instead, I read other books, some probably better, some certainly a lot worse. Allow me to save you some precious time if you're looking for good books to give as holiday presents. The Country Life, a novel by Rachel Cusk, has just come out in paperback, and it's my pick as the perfect stocking stuffer for anyone on your list who loves droll British comedy. On suspiciously short notice, a woman named Stella Benson throws away her London life and signs on to be an aide to the disabled son of a secluded manor house family. What ensues is farcical discomfort, born out of too much good breeding on Stella's part and too much inbreeding on the part of her snooty employers. Stella is a kind of flip Jane Eyre. Here's how she describes her own appearance. Mine were not the sort of looks that slapped one in the face when one encountered them. They did not disrupt nor seek attention. One could, in the presence of my looks, get on with the matter to hand, something I have not found to be without its advantages. If you want to spring for a hardcover specimen of the same kind of humor, I'd also recommend Michael Frayn's Headlong, another Britcom novel, this one about an unscrupulous academic who, in the tradition of the Antiques Roadshow, thinks that he stumbled upon an unknown painting by an old master. Enough giggles. We'll sober up now and look at so-called serious fiction. I think Ha Jin's novel, Waiting, which recently won the National Book Award for Fiction, may turn out to be my favorite novel of 1999. It describes the decades-long unhappy love affair between a Chinese doctor and a hospital nurse. I think of it as kind of a Sino version of The Remains of the Day, a quiet story that packs a wallop about a life of repression. A debut novel by Elizabeth Strout, called Amy and Isabel, also stands out in my memory. The novel is set in a New England mill town and focuses on a tense mother-daughter relationship during the summer of 1969. Strout precisely creates an ordinary world that's as durable as kitchen linoleum. Two short story collections could be great gifts for those short of time. The Way People Run is the latest book of stories by Christopher Tillman, who proves that Cheever, Updike, and Richard Ford haven't exhausted the fictional possibilities of white, middle-class male melancholy. And invoking Updike reminds me of an anthology he and Katrina Kennison put together called The Best American Short Stories of the Century. This anthology lives up to the promise of its title. Months after I've read it, I'm still haunted by an unapologetically melodramatic short story called The Ledge. It's one of those traditional man-against-nature tales that was first published in 1960 by a little-known writer, Lawrence Sargent Hall. I probably spent too much time this year reading mysteries, but why not when they're as good as Dan Fesperman's thriller, Lie in the Dark? Fesperman is a foreign correspondent for the Baltimore Sun, and his story, set in contemporary Sarajevo, offers keen social commentary along with suspense. Motherless Brooklyn by Jonathan Lethem is a hard-to-classify novel that toys with but doesn't quite surrender to the murder mystery genre. The main character who tells the tale suffers from Tourette's syndrome, which I thought would be a narrative deal-breaker but turned out to be a boon. As far as more familiar mystery novelists, I've got to award pride of place once again to Sarah Paretsky for her latest V.I. Warshawski novel, Hard Time. It's a real downer that I couldn't put down. Let's wind up these holiday picks with nonfiction. A Frank McCourt backlash gathered force this year, but I haven't yet become a party to it. Maybe the impending movie version of Angela's Ashes will change my mind. Anyway, I really enjoyed Tiz, McCourt's follow-up memoir that deals in part with his life as a teacher in the New York City public school system. And speaking of backlash, backlash author Susan Faludi's latest book, Stiffed, has come in for a lot of criticism, even by feminists like Ellen Willis, whom I respect. But I still think that its insights into what Faludi terms ornamental masculinity are well worth reading. And speaking of coming in for a lot of criticism, the Renaissance astronomer Galileo was called up before the Inquisition for claiming that the Earth rotates around the sun. Dava Sobel's Galileo's Daughter chronicles Galileo's struggles, as well as what surely must be one of the most loving father-daughter relationships of this or any other millennium. Reading time itself may be fleeting, but the impression these good books made on me this year endures.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. You can find her Christmas gift picks on our website at freshair.com.